Next in line, please.
Yeah, could I get a... Oh my god, you look just like me.
I mean, if by that you mean we're both slim white men just over 6 feet tall with essentially the same haircut, then I guess I could see it.
Who are you? Where are you from?
Name's Kevin, just like it says on this big-ass name tag. I'm from Minnesota, you?
I'm Nathan. I'm the Prince of East Peoria. Man, I'm so jealous of you. I've always wanted to get behind the counter and pour some macchiatos.
Really? I've always had an unquenchable thirst for power and riches myself. Hey, I just got a crazy idea. You think anybody would notice if we switched places for a day?
I don't see why they would. We look exactly alike, plus I don't think slinging lattes takes too much skill.
Well, I doubt that being a full-time heir to the throne requires much know-how either, you twat. Tell you what, meet me out back in 1 hour and let's make this thing happen.
Sounds great. See you then.
Next in line, please.
Oh, oh, oh. Why, hello there, Kevin. I couldn't help but overhear your plan. Maybe this year, some wishes really will come true.
Fuck off, Santa.
We go and grab a quick bite.
We watch a movie, then fight.
We're the Fast Food Film Friends.
You're listening to Fast Food Film Friends, a show about two doppelgangers who trade lives and find themselves inexplicably falling in love with the cuisine they find along the way. Isn't that right, Nathan?
That's right, Kevin. This week, we'll be talking about The Princess Switch, the latest romantic holiday film from Netflix starring the Hutchins twins, and we'll be eating Burger King's cheesy bacon spicy crispy chicken sandwich. A lot of adjectives.
From IMDb, the plot summary of The Princess Switch reads as follows. 1 week... 1 week before Christmas, Margaret, the gorgeous Duchess of Montanaro, switches places with Stacy, a quote, commoner from Chicago, who looks exactly like her. With the assistance of a magical Santa's helper, Margaret falls in love with Stacy's handsome coworker, while Stacy falls in love with Margaret's fiancé, the dashing prince.
And from BurgerKing.com, the cheesy bacon spicy crispy chicken sandwich is made of 100% white meat seasoned chicken filet, crispy breading, smoky bacon, all of that smothered in layers and layers of cheese sauce and slices of melted American cheese on top of a toasted potato bun.
Now, both this sandwich and this movie are too pretty
much,
cheesy.
Too much cheese.
But I will say, they also can get a little spicy.
Oh, that they can. That they can. There were some moments in this where I was like, wow, you know, for one of these types of movies, there's a man with his shirt off, which I didn't expect. You know, you don't expect to see that in these.
Now, before we get into this movie, we have a legitimately exciting announcement to make. I think for the first time ever on this show that we can say something legitimately exciting, which is that we have merch.
Oh, yeah.
We have shirts. We have stickers. We have Fast Food Film Friends swag that you can get yourself at fastfoodfilmfriends.com.
That's right. Anything you can imagine. T-shirts, stickers, anything in either of those two categories. Really, we have it. We have it.
Just in time for the holiday season. If you if you've got a fast food film friend of your own in your life,
that's right,
you think would look good wearing one of these. We've got a couple different designs.
Mm-hmm.
And any profits that come from these will of course be used to offset the costs of buying ridiculously expensive sandwiches.
Yeah,
it's talking about
a lot of them too. I mean, that's high volume stuff we're doing. This is episode what, 2019?
This is 19. Right,
yeah,
here, yeah,
that's 19. Well, probably 38. Different fast food items we've had to buy.
That was some serious mental math right there.
Thank you. I'm very good with nines. I don't know why. Do you know that every multiple of nine, from one to nine, like nine times one or nine times two or nine times three, up to nine, the sum will always add up to nine, the two numbers?
I actually did realize that when I was like seven.
Yeah. Yeah, so did I. I know, but a lot of people forget it. So, fuck you.
So, speaking of exciting announcements.
Yes!
The Golden Globes nominations are out.
Man, I honestly think, what do you even call the people who decide those? Like, it's not the Academy. Is it just like a bunch of rabid cats? I don't know what it is, but I'm furious about so many.
So, okay. The Golden Globes are basically just one big popularity contest.
Yeah.
And it's not a good idea to get emotionally invested in them. But at the same time,
so emotionally invested.
They're usually a pretty accurate early indicator of what the Oscars are going to look like. So I think it's definitely worth considering, you know, worth talking about.
Well, I think, I mean, it's, I hope to God that the Oscars go the complete other direction for a lot of these movies and nominations, but who the hell knows? Bohemian Rhapsody should not be up for Best Picture. That's straight out the gate.
So the five nominees for Best Drama are Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born. Now, I personally have not yet seen If Beale Street Could Talk. I've seen the rest of them. Black Panther and Black Klansman, I would say I enjoyed both those movies, but definitely would never put them in my, you know, top five of the year.
I didn't think they would even be considered for Best Picture.
But Bohemian Rhapsody, I mean, we, you and I, you know, for anybody who listens to the show regularly, if you heard our episode on it, I mean, this is, it's baffling to me.
It is.
Completely mind-blowing that this is a movie that is, like, considered high quality.
That's why I need to know who's deciding this, because I feel like if they're going off, like, almost box office, like, I don't even know, because they didn't even do that well. It doesn't make any sense to me why a film critic would say, yes, Bohemian Rhapsody deserves to be nominated for Best Picture. I don't think anybody was calling for that, and it seems just like a, well, we kind of got to do it, because Freddie Mercury, it's kind of like a big deal.
I mean, I think, you know, it's more apparent this year than ever that, like, they're trying to get that mainstream appeal. They want people to have actually seen these movies.
Oh, that could be
it. And so, like, if, I mean, I know, like, okay, people, like, you know, people are parents' age. People who are just, like, maybe casual moviegoers.
Yeah.
A lot of them have seen Bohemian Rhapsody or A Star Is Born. And those are the kind of movies people might hear about and say, hey, you know, I saw those movies. I like those movies. I'm going to watch this. I you know, I heard these are nominated.
But doesn't it just makes me so upset, and it makes me worried that the Oscars are going to follow this same path.
And I mean, the Oscars last year, I forget the exact number, but like the ratings were way down for viewership for the
Oscars.
Well,
who was the host last year?
Last year was Kimmel again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And now apparently can't get anybody to do it.
Well, they had Kevin Hart for a day, and then some stuff came up.
Literally a day.
Yeah.
But to focus on the positive of this category, A Star Is Born.
Yes, will definitely win Best Picture.
I mean, I have not yet seen If Beale Street Could Talk. It's from Barry Jenkins, the director of Moonlight. And I mean, I have high hopes for that movie. But as for the other four, it's
Not even close. If Beale Street Could Talk needs to be like a cinematic masterpiece, and it could be to beat A Star Is Born, but I just don't. I fucking love A Star Is Born. God, I love it.
So I'm going to hit you with some numbers real quick.
Oh, man, I love numbers.
In the last 9 years, out of the 45 movies that have been nominated for Best Drama at the Golden Globes,
only 9 have won.
Only 3 of those nominees did not go on to be nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars.
That is the most upsetting fact in the world. Why the fuck are there two different award shows then? Like, what is going on?
I mean, the Golden Globes also award TV.
Yeah. It doesn't affect what we're talking about at all right now, though.
But my point is, so in the last 9 years, there's been 3 movies that were nominated for Golden Globe Best Drama and did not get nominated for Best Picture.
So it's basically like a 90% shoe-in to be nominated for Best Picture at the
Oscars. So how many of these 5 movies do you think will be nominated for Best
Picture? Well, the thing about the Oscars is they have like 8 or 9 nominees.
They do, yes. Yeah,
they have a lot of nominees.
Right.
I'm going to bet that I don't think Black Panther will be nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars. I don't think Bohemian Rhapsody will be. And I think the other 3, maybe. What about you?
I think I would agree with that. I think that no more than 3 of these will be.
I agree. But probably all 5, based on that statistic you threw out at me.
We'll see what happens. Again, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I think really isn't worth getting too worked up about. But at the same time, I found myself worked up about it.
I was very worked up about it. I was at work.
And you were worked up at work.
I was worked up at work, and I was waiting. I was just about to go check, and you shot me an IM, because we still use AOL Instant Messenger.
Right. And you had your away message up.
I did, and so the auto response came back.
And it was
back.
A quote from like a
Linkin Park song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I came back, and you had said something like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And I was like, wait, I'm going to look. And then I got worked up. I got extremely worked up.
So let's talk about the things that we're happy about on this list, because I've got a few for sure.
All right, let's do it.
Lucas Hedges from Boy Erased.
Did you see Boy Erased?
I just saw that like a week or two ago, and I really enjoyed it. I thought he was fantastic. It's the first time I've seen him in a leading role.
Yeah.
I thought he did really great.
Did you see mid-90s?
Not yet, no. Okay.
I think he's going to be very good in that, too. I haven't seen either. But.
Also, Elsie Fisher for 8th Grade.
Yes, I want her to win.
Excellent, and that makes me so happy that she was nominated.
Big time. Bradley Coops for A Star Is Born, of course.
And I mean, I wanted to get this in a second, but Sam Elliott being snubbed.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Makes me more angry than anything else here.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely.
He did, just like a couple weeks ago, win Best Supporting Actor from the National Board of Review.
Yeah.
for the year.
And he won a bunch of indie awards, too.
And so, I mean, I have hope for him that he's going to be nominated.
Can we stop talking about things that make us happy? And can we just talk about the fact that if you remake Mary Poppins, you're going to get nominated for every fucking award because it's Mary Poppins?
I mean, we haven't seen it yet. It might be a masterpiece.
It's not going to be. There's no way. Like, Mary Poppins wasn't even a masterpiece when it came out. Like, it's just a movie that everyone grew up with and knows well, and it's like a part of our...
I think, you know, as much as I want to stay optimistic, this movie is going to be huge over the Christmas season, and that's going to just be a big name that people are going to, if they know that it's nominated at this award show, it might make them interested in watching.
Yeah, maybe.
So, are you getting hungry?
I'm so hungry.
Now, before we eat any food,
yeah,
we should probably take some time and do some Nimble News.
Yeah, I guess we could knock out some Nimbies.
Nimble News.
Nimble News is the part of the show where we review all things new as quickly as we can do. New music, shows, purchases, experiences, or even new food or movies that we don't have time for in our main discussion. Kevin, are you ready?
Sure am.
And go.
I finally got around to watching Deadpool 2 a couple weeks ago. I loved all of the cameos. Brad Pitt, Rob Delaney, Zazie Beetz from Atlanta, who I am currently in love with, to name a few. The movie held up to the standards of the first Deadpool, and I would happily watch a third with Ryan Reynolds at the helm again, mainly because of all the one-liners that I just love. The after-credit scene of Deadpool shooting Ryan Reynolds right in the head when he finishes the script for Green Lantern was just an added bonus.
I went with some friends to Betty Danger's Country Club in Minneapolis.
What? Yeah, Minneapolis!
Which is a self-described kooky retro spot for the 99%. We chowed down on what is called the Christmas morning experience, which is a heaping platter of shareable brunch items, while enjoying the scenery of the walls around us, which were completely plastered in Christmas decorations. Everything about the meal was an absolute treat. If you ever find yourself looking for a memorable spot to grab some delicious grub in the Twin Cities, especially in the wintertime, Betty Danger's is a must.
I watched the movie Tag on an international flight. The movie wasn't anything too special, but the pace was decent enough to keep me watching while stuck on a 6-hour flight. It featured Jeremy Renner as basically a better version of Hawkeye, minus the arrows, which was also kind of neat.
My fiancé and I sold a bunch of our old Nintendo Wii games and accessories using Facebook Marketplace to a toothless hoarder that met us in a Culver's parking lot. The guy paid us pretty generously considering what we had to offer, and he didn't even take the time to check if any of the necessary components were missing. Overall, it was an excellent experience, and I hope he contacts us again if he's ever looking to exchange cash for some shit to feed his unhealthy habits.
I tried high brew cold brew coffee for the first time in the double espresso flavor. I got the big old container from Costco, and let me tell you, it's so much more convenient in the morning to grab it out of the fridge and pour a quick glass versus having to brew hot coffee. There's more caffeine in it as well, and the flavor is great. I fucking love it.
I tried the Arbynator, which is Arby's new limited time roast beef sandwich topped with curly fries, cheddar cheese sauce, horsey sauce, and Arby sauce. Although I did love eating fries and beef all in one bite, I was pretty disappointed in the portions of the other toppings. My sandwich had barely any cheese sauce at all, but was totally slathered in horsey sauce. I like horseradish just fine, but even I had to wipe off about half of the horsey sauce to even bear finishing the whole thing. All in all, I think I'll stick to their regular sandwiches with a side of curly fries in the future.
I watched the movie Baywatch for the first time, even though I thought it looked like trash. I was blown away by how much more vulgar and hilarious it was than I could have imagined. It isn't a cinematic masterpiece by any means, but it is definitely worth a quick watch if you like ridiculous movies.
I was recently introduced to a card game called Sushi Go, which involves passing around and picking cards that depict various adorable pieces of sushi which contain different point values. It's quick to learn, it requires a perfect balance of strategy and luck, and it's just endlessly fun. In the few weeks since I picked up the game, I've played it with probably 5 different groups of people, and I haven't gotten sick of it one bit. If you're looking for a cheap and simple gift for someone who enjoys games, or for yourself, Sushi Go is the perfect choice.
I binged the entire first season of HBO's Big Little Lies on the flights back from Finland. The show was not at all what I expected it to be, and I absolutely loved the pace, the editing, and the cinematography. The characters were all so well developed and well acted that for the first time in my life, I could put aside my disdain for Nicole Kidman. It also gave me this, one of my favorite lines that I've heard in years. I think women are chemically incapable of forgiveness.
Now that is all the time that we have for Nimble News. Let's dig in to the Princess Switch and Burger King's Cheesy Bacon Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich.
Too many adjectives. Too many. I will say the bun looks nice.
The bun is...
it's like a brioche.
It looks a little spongy. It does look to be, a there's got a few slices of cheese. I don't really see any melted cheese coming off
here. I'm going to pop the hood on this bad boy. Oh, they don't skimp on the bacon. I got like 4 or 5 strips of bacon.
Yeah, decent amount of bacon.
Yeah, the cheese, though, is in a very weird state.
Is yours like on the bottom bun?
I think we let these sit a little too long because the nacho cheese is soaked into the buns.
It really is.
The American cheese is... Well, American cheese is, it's like a cockroach. It never changes or dies. It can survive anything, so... Let's give these things a chance, huh? Man, I hate how much I love that.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not really getting that cheese sauce texture. It's really just a lot of the cheese slices, but it's pretty cheesy.
It is pretty cheesy.
And again, the bacon coverage is good. The
bacon coverage is great. The spice level's nice.
Yeah, the patty does have a nice...
It's spice is there, but it's not overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can get down with this. Potato buns, though. I got a sweet spot for potato buns. Because it changed... Ooh! A little pepper in the back of my throat. It changes the whole sandwich.
And this is a good bun.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy this, actually.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised by this.
I just want to keep chowing down.
Yeah, I do, too. It's...
Really probably, no complaints here.
No complaints, which is sad, because I really... When you look at the picture,
I think we'll have plenty of time for complaints in this episode.
Oh, we will. We will. I just thought, I don't know, the picture of it makes it seem way cheesier.
Mm-hmm. That's actually an interesting point, because if this did more closely reflect the photo, I think it wouldn't be as good. They actually know what they're doing with the cheese amount.
Maybe we just got like a really good employee who's like, nobody needs all that cheese, and he went light on the nacho cheese for us.
He went rogue.
Yeah.
It's a good amount, you know? It's cheesy. Mm-hmm. Cheese in every bite.
Mm-hmm. Bacon in every bite, which is rare. Most places skimp on the bacon.
It's true. Every bit of this is, you know, it's meaty. It's, you know, it's filling me with dairy.
Yeah, this is not going to do my system well as a lactose struggling man.
So as somebody who is lactose intolerant, did your body react negatively to how cheesy this movie was?
I shit all over my couch. It couldn't stop. It was like I had just drank a gallon of milk, and then when I felt my stomach getting upset, I put a funnel in my mouth and then poured 3 gallons of milk in there continuously until it all just came out the other end.
I didn't want to say anything, but as soon as I walked in here, I almost threw up on the floor.
Yeah, I haven't cleaned up at all. No, that was 2 days ago, and my body still just won't let me think about it, so I'm just letting it ride for a bit. But I'm glad it didn't ruin your opinion of this sandwich. Now, what is this genre of movie? Like this Hallmark kind of esque?
I think that's it. Hallmark Christmas movie in itself is a genre now.
What the? Like, what kind of world are we living in? So this is really my first exposure to like a full length Hallmark movie. I've never sat down and watched a movie like that before.
Okay.
What was your? Have you been involved in the Hallmark craze?
I've seen a handful, and here's what I'll say about that. If you present me with a steak, I'm going to judge it by a steak standards.
Okay.
If you present me with a piece of candy,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to judge it by a steak standards.
No.
I'm going to judge it by a piece of candy standards, because that would be unfair to judge it by a steak standards. So this is, you know, a Hallmark Christmas movie.
It's not.
It's
technically.
Okay. You get what I mean, though.
No. Could you please elaborate?
It's not marketed as anything more than a cheesy Christmas film.
Yeah.
So it would be unfair to judge it by any other standards. This is a piece of candy meant to satisfy a very specific craving. Now, that being said, the Princess Switch is black licorice. It is the shittiest candy imaginable.
See, that's why... Okay. So that's... I took so many notes on this movie. I literally... It's probably an hour and 40, 50 minute movie. It took me like 3 hours to watch it because I had to keep pausing to write things down because I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. But in my head, I kept thinking... It's this Hallmark type of movie. This is just how they are. I have to like suspend disbelief and just like go for it. Now, this again, this is my first exposure to these movies, and I, you know, there was a point towards the end of this movie where I just thought to myself like, man, I'm way too involved in this right now.
Yes,
and I was like, for the first like hour and a half, I was like, this is trash. Terrible movie. And then like I found myself like leaning forward literally on the edge of my seat, and I was like, what is happening to me?
I completely agree.
And I think it's like a spell that these movies put on you, because they're not made well, they're not like written well, Nothing is done well about them.
But yet it compels you.
And yet I was still like, oh, what's gonna happen with this princess switch? And it was like, I was like, wow, what a simple species we are, where you can just throw this shit in front of us and we'll be like, ooh, tell us what happens next.
I mean, I think whether we want to admit it or not, there is a science behind these movies to get us invested, because there's all sorts of movies and shows that if you throw on a TV in front of my eyes and I watch it for an hour, I can check out of it. I can stop caring.
Yeah.
But this movie and movies like this, I find myself really caring. And I went into this film knowing that it was probably going to have just a stupid, predictable ending. Like, it's probably not going to give me any... I'm probably not going to care one bit about this story.
Yeah.
Yet still, I found myself really interested to see how this ended. Because you have this situation, these characters that are actually... I'm latching on to. So basically, Vanessa Hudgens is playing... She's really playing four characters this movie. Because she's playing Stacy, who's a baker from Chicago. She's playing Lady Margaret, who's the Duchess of Montanaro. And then she's also playing...
Did you Google Montanaro and what's the other one?
Belgravia?
Belgravia?
That sounds like a brand of breakfast bar.
It does, actually. It probably is.
So the third character she's playing is like Stacy pretending to be Lady Margaret. That in itself is its own character. And then Lady Margaret pretending to be Stacy. So
I have an interesting question for you on that point. Do you think, and I try to discern this throughout the entire movie, when she is playing, what's the princess's name? Princess Margaret?
Lady Margaret.
Lady Margaret. She's not a princess yet, I suppose. When she's playing Lady Margaret and when she's playing Stacy pretending to be Lady Margaret, do you think there is a difference in her British accent?
I mean, I legitimately think that she loses track of which of those characters she's playing. It's wildly inconsistent.
Yes.
What she's doing. And I understand that it's very complex. Like, I cannot imagine playing two characters and also those characters playing each other. Like, that's a big ask for even, like, an A-list actor.
You know what's not a big ask? Coordinating, like... So, when they're on the screen together, like, just coordinating where they should be looking seems like it shouldn't be that big of an ask. And it's so obvious sometimes, like, she's looking through or, like, slightly different off to the right where the other Vanessa Hudgens is standing. And it's like... How hard is it to just be like, look here, stand here? That took me out so many times.
I will say that this movie kind of gave me an appreciation for better movies, because like there's these scenes where it's these back and forth conversation between the two of them, and it's like over the shoulder shot. So obviously the way they shot it was just they had body doubles.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking like, you know, in a real movie that's actually well done, they have to do the same stuff.
Yeah.
But it's actually seamless. And like you actually like... can't tell, like it looks like one continuous thing. But a movie like this, it's like it got me thinking about that. That's nothing good to say about this movie. No. It's just it made me think about others.
Yeah, this was like an eighth grade film class student's version of like The Parent Trap. I feel like is how well they executed the same like in the same shot scenes. just watching her like look and smile 2 feet to like the right of where the other Vanessa Hudgens is standing. But
I think that. You know, off the Parent Trap comparison, if there's one thing this movie could have been to be better, in my opinion, it's that I wanted, like, more hijinks. Just, like, funny, like, in this scenario, think back to Parent Trap. Yeah. Like, there's so many funny things that happen
because we're in the same spot type deal.
Yeah, or, like maybe, like, this character should know this, but now they have to do... Like, there's all sorts of things that happen as a result of this crazy, wacky plan to switch places. And this movie... Princess Switch sets up some situations like that where it's like, oh no, is she going to be able to play the piano? Yeah. Is she going to be able to do this? And almost every time it goes perfectly smoothly.
Yeah.
Which is aggravating.
It's true. Well, the prince is just a very kind man. And he, you know, he doesn't want her to be embarrassed. So he saves her ass a few times. The other girl, the princess, when she's pretending to be a normal gal, burns the toast. That's about as hijinksy as this movie gets.
I mean, yeah.
And then the little girl's like, you never burn anything! And she's like, let's go out for breakfast?
And yet...
That's when I put the gun in my mouth, right after that line.
We're going to have to get to our spoiler section soon, because I have so many specifics that I want to talk.
Can I just... Okay. The first scene of this movie, there's a very creepy, smiley old lady in it. And, like, I was... In my head, for sure. Even before the old guy who kind of permeates this movie as, like, kind of a...
Right.
Wizard, like, fairy, like a, I don't know what
it's like other, Santa type.
Santa, yes. Maybe, sure. This old lady is like smiling at her so much in her bakery and is like, she reminded me of somebody from like a scary movie. And I was like, oh, this lady's going to be like a witch or something for sure. And she never comes back. But they focus, they hold on her face for like 30 seconds at the beginning and she's just smiling with dirty teeth. And I was like, what is going on?
There's actually a couple characters who I thought would end up like playing a bigger role by the end, because I was like, why are we lingering on like this, like the princess's assistant so much? Like, I'm like, she has to like have some bigger role in this, and she doesn't.
She just like gave the driver a bunch of dirty chores to do throughout the movie. I thought it was great. I think my biggest nitpick with this movie, the biggest bone I have to pick, Vanessa Hudgens playing Stacy the baker in Chicago, living her life in Chicago. She's like all-star baker, whatever. She wears a fucking Chicago hat that is like from an airport gift shop of Chicago that no self-standing Chicagoan would ever wear.
I was going to say, she like walked in a Navy Pier one day and was like, I want that.
That's the hat I'm going to wear every day. Every day I'm wearing that hat. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to rip it off her head. It's like, just don't wear a hat. We know you're in Chicago. You don't need to wear a hat that says Chicago in like cursive from 1997 that's been left over in a gift shop for that long. Oh, man, that ruined me. And the dialogue in the first scene at the bakery, too, just reminded me of the scene from The Room at the florist. And then I realized this whole movie is like that. This whole movie, the dialogue is...
I mean, I love that, you know, right off the bat, we know two things about Stacy. The first being that she's really needed some cheering up after breaking up with Paul.
Paul really is lingering over her.
And the second thing that we know... is that she's scared to do anything spontaneous ever since she broke up with Paul.
Unless she runs into Paul, in which case, spontaneity galore. Just like, no, we're not doing that. We have to stick to the plan. And then it's like, oh, I ran into Paul and his girlfriend. She's like, well, I'm throwing all my plans away. I'm doing it. When they showed the shot. Okay, so in my head, they go to like this kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Belgravia. But they're talking about Wembley a bunch. Uh-huh. And I kept thinking, like, Wembley Stadium.
That's exactly what I thought.
I kept thinking, and I was like, oh, it's got to be close to Britain. Maybe they're going for, like, and then it's, like, a generic office building that just says Wembley Studios. Right. And I, like, lost my mind. I was like, you can't just throw that around.
I'm like, they're going to have this cooking competition in an arena.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And then it's, in, like, a set the size of, like, my living room.
Do you think that they were originally planning on, like, using the actual Wembley Stadium? And then, like, because of logistics, they're like, we have to shoot this a closet.
Control find Great Britain, replace with Belgravia, and like, and then they were like, fuck, we forgot about Wembley, we'll make it a studio. Don't change the name, just make it a studio. Like, oh man, just like choose a different name
or something. All right, I think we need to just go ahead and move into our spoiler segment before we move on. Before we do that, we need a verdict. This sandwich, the Burger King
crispy cheesy, chicken, cheesy, bacony,
spicy, crispy spicy chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
I think we both got it there.
I really, really liked it.
What was the retail on that?
If
that's over $3, I'm not buying it.
It was for sure. Okay. It was, I want to say it was maybe $5 or so.
$5 for that?
Yeah, and Burger King can be steep for their special sandwiches. I get that.
I guess I got to pay for all that bacon somehow.
I mean, honestly, yeah. I think that value-wise... it could have been, you know, more chicken. But other than that, as far as bacon and cheese and bun goes, I don't really have any complaints.
Yeah. I mean, it was good all the way through. The spice level was there. Bacon level was beyond any other fast food bacon sandwich I've probably ever had. Chicken was good. My cheese was pretty light. I think if it was cheesed as advertised, I wouldn't like it as much. But maybe ask them to go easy on the cheese, and I'd say go get it. I mean, that was pretty tasty. I'd eat that happily again.
I think that, you know, if this movie had also had more cheese than it had, I wouldn't have been able to take it. Because I already could not. And I'd say The Princess Switch on Netflix, I think you know exactly what you're getting if you watch this movie. There's fun to be had shitty movie.
Yeah.
And I think if you are familiar with what you're getting yourself into, go for it. Enjoy yourself. Otherwise, just don't watch it.
As a man who has never indulged in the Hallmark movie collection or any of those things, this was opened a door for me that I didn't know needed to be opened. But at the end of this movie, I was laughing. Maybe it's because I knew I'd be doing a podcast on it, but I was like laughing to myself. And I just thought, It was kind of fun. And I would say, regardless of whether you like the Hallmark movies or not, this movie is worth a watch just to laugh at. But also, it's kind of entertaining at the same time. It is. I mean, there's so many things you can pick apart, but at the same time, the plot is, I don't want to say good, but
I mean, like I said before, bad. I think that these are, you know, carefully crafted to be exactly what they are. And picking it apart and hating it at times, I think, is part of the intended experience.
It has to be.
And if so, it does a pretty good job of satisfying that goal. But I don't know how else to, like...
I would say, I think everyone should watch this movie. I think if everyone did, the world would be a better place. And I think we could all laugh about it together. And Hudgens needs that cash, clearly. So let's get this thing bumping.
Well, I'm excited for your quote to be on the DVD cover of this box.
It will be. Hudgens needs that cash.
Now, before I move into our spoiler segment, and just to be clear, you know, there's not much we can ruin about this movie beyond what the plot description already gives away.
Yeah.
So I think that if you haven't seen this film, I wouldn't worry too much about listening to our spoiler talk. But before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Are you getting ready to shoot your made-for-TV movie, but you just aren't sure how to go about lighting on the set? Well, worry no more, you young Scorsese. Soap Opera and Hallmark Movie Lighting Company is at your service. Do you want your characters to appear so artificially lit that they'll look like there's a car with LED headlights behind them in every single setting? Well, then Soap Opera and Hallmark Movie Lighting Company is for you. Our lighting rigs will make every scene in your movie seem like it was shot in the waiting room of a well-lit doctor's office. Soap Opera and Hallmark Moving Lighting Company. We'll make sure that nobody will buy into your movie at all.
And we are back, and it's time for our spoiler snack segment. And this week we have a double spoiler snack special. We will be eating two different sweets each. The first one is a Jaffa Pelagia cookie.
Yes.
Which, it was tough to find a description of this in English.
Well, I brought these back from Finland. I was just over in Finland for a week, and my coworkers over there brought these into the office for a breakfast. And I was like, I literally asked them, what are these? And they looked at me like I was insane. And then they explained to me that they were Jaffa cakes.
These are Jaffa cakes with a Pelagia Rowan berry-flavored marmalade filling and a Fazer dark chocolate coating.
Mm.
And I think they look pretty good. You said you had one already?
I did. I was very off-put when I saw somebody bite into them at first. And then I had one, and I'm, like, obsessed with these now. So I brought back a lot of these.
So let's dig into these first.
Yeah. So it's like a chocolate-covered little tiny cookie, Chips Ahoy-sized cake with chocolate on the top and then some weird filling.
Almost reminds me of a...
It reminded me of something, but I could not put my finger on it.
Reminds me a little bit of a Fig Newton.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Hmm.
But I'm all about these things now. I'm like, I'm putting these things away. I'm packing on LBs eating these Jaffa cakes.
There's definitely more marmalade than there is chocolate. I think that if these quantities were flipped, I would enjoy it a lot more.
Well, they, you know, the Finns like to watch their sugar intake.
It is true. You know, as an obese American,
you
know, I can safely say this is coming from my perspective.
Morbidly. Sorry.
Yes.
Morbidly obese.
Oh, yeah. It may be an acquired taste. I'm not really...
I think it is.
...too big a fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
It does, you know, the marmalade, that fruity flavor, does feel a little bit healthier than the next thing we're about to eat. Which, let's just go ahead and get started on that. So
Before you tell me what this actually is, what Nathan brought in is two... Why you got two of these and didn't just split one is mind-blowing, but two
full-size... Because I want one for myself.
Two full-size, I don't know, pink. It looks like a pink. It looks like a malt or a shake of some kind. I don't even know. And then there's Oreo chunks in it, and I don't understand why it's pink. And I don't understand what it could even be and what they're doing with Oreos over at Burger King.
Let me introduce you to Burger King's Oreo Cookie Peppermint Shake. Here's a description of these shakes as found on BurgerKing.com. Cool down with our creamy, hand-spun Oreo Cookie Peppermint Shake. Velvety vanilla soft serve, Oreo cookie pieces, and peppermint syrup are blended to perfection and finished with a sweet whipped topping just for you. I asked for no whipped cream because I knew that would just, you know.
I was going to say, my whipped cream apparently disappeared, but that makes it a lot more
sense. Yeah, I did. Well, I asked for none on mine. On yours, I actually ate yours very carefully before giving it to you.
That's fair.
You know, it's it's Christmas time. This is a, you know, it's a minty, it's a minty holiday treat. And you know what? Let's dig in.
What's happened to BK? Like, they're making good things now? Is that their deal? They've decided to start making good things? Last week?
I'm a big fan of this. I will say, when I went through the drive-thru, I was reminded of the Burger King Dutch apple pie.
Which is also great.
Which you and I ate on this show and loved.
I love that
pie. I think Burger King's desserts, they know what they're doing.
Apparently, because this... Hey, I don't... I get that it's peppermint, and they're going for, like, the red and white mix of, like, a candy cane. But it comes out pink, and it just doesn't work. So I would much rather see it like a green. And that might seem more unnatural, but that's just, like, I'm more used to a shamrock shake type thing. But, yeah, the flavor is good. I just don't... Why don't they sell, like... I just want 1/15th of this cup. This cup is huge. I just want, like, a shot glass of this for dessert. Yeah. That's all I want. I'm like done. I've had two sips and I'm done. It's tasty as hell. The peppermint comes through.
I'll gladly finish the recipe shake.
The sad thing is I probably know you will. And I'm not even that wild about Oreos either, especially in ice cream or shakes, but this works. I really thought we'd be shitting on Burger King a lot in this episode, but my God.
Man, the amount and the texture of the Oreo, I think it's perfect.
It reminds me of it's reminiscent of the bacon on that chicken, spicy, crispy sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, their portions, they're really good.
Oh, man. It does have, you remember when you had to take, like, antibiotics as a kid?
Yep.
The aftertaste kind of reminds me of, like, that amoxicillin-type taste. Maybe it's the pink color, too, I don't know.
If amoxicillin tasted like this, I would have chugged it as a child.
You probably did, based on your general health today.
I can't get over this.
I'm over it.
I think between...
I'm over it. I don't even like it anymore.
I think between the entree and the spoiler snack, this is one of my favorite combinations of food that we've had on this show.
Whew. That's a bold statement. I wish I could remember everything we've done. What do we do with the Dutch apple pie?
Chicken fries.
Oh. Yeah, and that goes out the window. Pretzel bites? Were the pretzel bites a spoiler snack?
Yeah, we've had some spoiler snacks.
We did the crispy chicken
sweets.
Sandwich with the pretzel bites. Correct. That might be my favorite. Those pretzel bites blew me away.
Those were darn good.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do like a
recap
like
show.
A year in review, like, you know, a best of, because you and I clearly have awful memories.
I think we could rank all the movies and we could rank all the food and spoiler snacks. We could have three categories. We each rank them and then nobody reads that article. But we could do it. We could do it.
Find that on fastfoodfilmfriends.com under the blog section, which does not exist and will never exist.
Yeah, you're right. Can we talk about my favorite line in this movie?
Mm.
So it's Stacy and Lady Margaret. Is that what I'm to believe? Okay. Stacy apparently gets to the baking studio, Wembley Studios, and stumbles across like her arch nemesis, apparently, some redheaded baker who won this huge baking competition last year.
Yep.
Is clearly kind of a bee. Based off her general attitude and just how she treats her. They kind of like get into a little spat initially when she's like, oh, well, I won last year. Oh, well, I'm going to win this year type deal. But then Stacy says, yeah, we met at the Cordon Bleu, or we both went to Cordon Bleu University. Le Cordon Bleu. And then... I couldn't believe the line when it came out of Stacy's mouth. She's talking about like how the nemesis was very close with the professors. She goes, "Yeah, I did. I got along with all the professors." And Stacy goes, "Oh, like when you sauced Professor Johnson's berries," and then this redheaded nemesis is like, "Oh, how dare she say that?" And I was like, "What is that even implying? Like, what is what happened? She sauced his berries? Why is that the euphemism you're using?" It threw me for such a loop, but I also loved it so much because I was like, "That's such a nonsense!" Like,
like of all the like verb and food options that you could use to create a euphemism.
Yeah. Oh my God, there's so many more. Like mixed his bowl, you know, tossed his dough.
Speaking of mixing a bowl and the nemesis.
Oh my God! What a climax!
This is jumping ahead to the end a bit, but I can't get over the nemesis. Grand plan is to chop the power cord of the mixer.
Wait. She breaks into a studio after hours and, like, strolls around. You think she's up to, like, this masterful plan. She cuts one fucking cord.
And it's a foot-long cord left there. It's not... She doesn't cut it near the ground.
No.
She doesn't cut it and tuck it into somewhere.
No.
There is a foot-long decapitated power cord hanging from the back of the mixer
that
nobody... In this entire place,
producers didn't
saw.
Well, that's the kind of show Wendley runs.
And by the way, she made a cake.
Oh, she made an extravagant
she
cake.
She made a cake and she didn't need the mixer until she had to puree berries.
And it's like, what are you using a fucking mixer to puree berries for in the first
place? But not the cake.
There's, I mean, if we're cutting holes in this, we can cut a lot of holes. But that was like, A, ask for a new mixer. Or B, use any of the other 17 fucking mixers that are in this competition. Like, cutting one cord of a mixer, you can go down the block in 5 hours. You can go down the block and buy a goddamn mixer.
But no, you know, she didn't realize until there was 30 seconds left.
Oh my god, it blew my mind. It blew my mind. Can we talk about the whole reason why they think they look familiar?
Why is that?
Because, like, one of our ancestors went to America and, like, married some rude American girl. And I was like, why can't they just look alike? Why do they have to be related? Like, people just look alike sometimes.
Yeah, it kind of felt like maybe there was, like, a scene that was deleted. I'm like, what are they referring to?
Yeah.
Kind of out of nowhere, but also, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Also, I want to go back to the nemesis because her rude move in response to the saucing the professor's berries line was to spill coffee on her fucking apron, which is literally a garment designed to be spilled on. And she was like, oh, my apron. I was like, what? That's what it's for. Put it in the wash.
Like, thank you for getting some use out of my apron.
Oh my god, is this just like, that's what I don't understand.
Can I break down for you my biggest problem with this story? So there are three characters that the Vanessa Hudgenses need to trick.
The prince?
There's the prince,
Kevin,
who barely knows his fiance to begin with, so tricking him is not really that hard.
No, easy.
There's Kevin's daughter, who, like, instantly finds out the secret and is then in on it.
Yeah.
And then there's Kevin.
Yeah.
Who has known her for 12 years and is completely oblivious to the whole charade because he's apparently just an idiot.
He's really not the sharpest tool in the shed.
And he, not only does he not catch on at all, but what is, like, what is so fucked up about this is that, so, like, in the end, when the whole reveal happens, right, you know, like, there's going to be this big moment where everyone finds out the truth and there's going to be some fallout from that, like, and I, the whole time watching this movie, I'm thinking, like, what's going to happen? How is this going to affect these characters' lives? Like, how is this going to affect the royal family or Stacey's business? Like, this is going to forever change everyone's lives drastically.
I really did not think that at all.
And this reveal finally happens. Okay, put yourself in Kevin's shoes. Is that easy for you to put yourself in Kevin's shoes?
This Kevin, no, because he's a fucking moron. But most Kevins, yes.
Imagine if you knew somebody for 12 years. You went on a vacation with him for a week.
Mm.
Over the course of that week...
It wasn't a week. Hey, I want to make it very clear. This was 2 days.
Okay, yeah, sorry, 2 days.
That is one of my whole issues,
too. Over those 2 days, you have reached the point that you are so in love with this person that you propose to her. You then find out that it is not the person who you've known for 12 years. The person you've known for 12 years is in love with somebody else. The person that you just proposed to is a person you've known for 2 days.
But the reason he fell in love with her is because she was being spontaneous. She was acting like the princess. He never would have proposed if he had just stuck with Stacey.
Yeah, but in his mind, she's still the person she was for 12
years.
Yeah, but
she had reinvented herself. She was a new person. It wasn't the old... It wasn't the Stacey he knew.
I get
it
that she... Right. She changed. Let me finish here. When he finds out the truth, it takes him, I kid you not, one line until he just accepts what's happened.
Mm.
That would be a complete... life-altering, like, cognitive dissonance. It would blow your mind to find that out. Like, take a walk outside and just let this all sink
in. I do think it blew his mind because I filmed his reaction and it was my favorite part of the movie. And this is how Kevin responds. And I've watched this reaction probably 40 times. So the glasses are taken off. Kevin kind of looks from one to the other, back and forth, and then he goes... There's two of you?
I think that, Kevin, you make a great Kevin.
Thank you. I've been working on my Kevin for a while now.
They were filming this movie, and they thought they had like 2 weeks left to finish shooting the ending. And they said, shoot, we have 10 minutes. We have to rewrite this entire thing. Quick. They find out. They're stoked. They get high married fives, next year.
High fives.
Roll the credits.
Throw the bouquet. I mean, how dumb was the bouquet throwing? And can we talk about the number of thumbs up towards the end of this movie, too? A lot of thumbs up being tossed around. I thought it was very...
Well, they paid the actors per line. So, affirming their excitement using hand gestures is actually much cheaper.
I guess.
It goes back to what I said. I was invested, even though I shouldn't have been. I knew that I shouldn't have been. I knew that I shouldn't have cared. But I did, and I wanted to see something remotely interesting happen with these characters.
Yes.
And the thing is, it's tied up with a bow in the blink of an eye. And yeah. We're done.
Yeah.
Roll credits, play the next Netflix movie.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that how these normally go? Hey, can we talk about the fact that they bring up Netflix and watch the little Prince in this movie? Like, they literally open up Netflix, show the full Netflix menu... And it's like in a string of movies that this movie would be right smack dab in the middle.
Real movies.
Like recent movies.
If a moment like this had happened in a comedy, like if it was a tongue-in-cheek, self-aware joke of like,
yeah,
how ridiculous it is to have product placement for a service that you have to be using at that very moment in order to be watching this advertisement.
Yeah.
Then I would probably find that very entertaining. But this scene is not tongue-in-cheek.
No.
It's just a legitimate ad.
Yep.
It's an actual ad for the thing you're using right now.
No,
and it made me want to throw my TV off my balcony.
I think it's a blatant ad for The Little Prince, which is another one of the movies from Netflix that is exactly like this. And it's like, oh, The Little Prince made them cry in that. We should watch that next. I guarantee that's the movie that comes up next.
I actually, for me personally, and this might differ for different users, I remembered what the movie was that showed there, The Christmas Prince, and I was like, if that's the recommended movie when this is done, I'm canceling my Netflix subscription.
Was
right
it?
Now. It was not.
Yeah.
It's a different
Surprising.
Movie, actually.
Maybe
but
they heard you
there you
that.
Go. Then you get two recommendations.
Yeah.
Because I remember it, because we're
exactly.
sitting talking about this. I watched this a week ago, and I remember what the movie is. So it's clearly an extremely effective ad.
Yeah, apparently. She's like, oh, I love that. The guy's like, oh, your favorite movie is The Little Prince. And it's like, or The Christmas Prince. And then it's like, she's going to marry a prince. Whatever. So.
Real quick, do you think that in the universe of The Princess Switch, that The Princess Switch as a movie exists?
No. No.
So this is an alternate version of Netflix.
Correct. Do you think it does?
I can't sleep thinking about it.
That's what I assumed.
How many universes are there of Netflix?
Do you know what I can't sleep thinking about?
What's that?
In this fucking movie. And I hate to keep harping on hats, but I have to. There's a group of carolers.
Harping on hats is the name of our third podcast.
And let me tell you, I've got plenty of harping to do, and this movie gave me plenty of hats. There's a group of carolers who are shown probably two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the costumes in this, the sets, the backgrounds, the lighting, the props are all so fucking cheap and clearly cheap and not well done, I'd say, in this movie. But this was like, it broke my brain. There's carolers, they're dressed in like your classic Charles Dickens type carolers garb. And then they literally have on their heads the plastic, like, New Year's Eve party hats from Party City. And it blew my mind. I was like, you really didn't have the budget to just get, like, a bonnet for the women and, like, some newsboy hats for the guys. Like, you had to go plastic top hats across the board in, like, the royal kingdom. Oh, my God. It looked so bad.
Well, they had to spend so much money on the wedding. They're cutting back in every other area.
I just... The prince, too. Like, the whole royal family just, like, are idiots as well. Like, oh, we should actually go to a charity? Just... Oh, God damn this movie.
I will say, this movie satisfies everyone's deepest desire.
Mm.
Which is that their kind, upbeat, single-parent business partner also happens to be secretly ripped...
Oh, man. Let me tell you, he popped that shirt off. I thought, I'm glad every Kevin looks like that. It's one thing we do right, us Kevs. But yeah, he's a obnoxiously in shape man, and I don't think a bakery sous chef single dad would be able to find the time. But apparently he's
got it.
He does some things. He's not eating too many peppermint Oreo shakes.
I'm almost at the end of my shake, and
I cannot believe you ate that whole thing.
I will say, similar to the characters in this movie, I'm finishing this pretty happy.
God.
I mean, I think that everything in my life has pretty much solved itself.
I just don't, like, Kev's, what are they going to do? The bakery moves over there, and then Kev's just high and dry without a bakery?
They do not explain that, and they
they're on the streets.
They don't even want to. They don't want to touch this is what I'm talking about, the ramifications of this. There's real life consequences.
That is the only ramification. That is the only one.
Okay, but like, there's multiple people whose lives are completely being flipped upside down because of this, because of true love. Show me that. Even if it's a 30-second explanation, give me that. I want to know.
Did the scene where they played Twister on the floor of a toy store remind you of going to a toy store in your childhood where you played Twister on the floor? Because that's a common thing that toy stores have.
That was my... So, every other Thursday, my local toy store had Twister on the floor tonight.
It was just like, that toy store was like four shelves sparsely packed with toys. And then the most, like, obvious plant, Twister.
So, speaking of the toy store, that is one of the many opportunities when there could have been some hijinks.
Yeah, but
some
old,
funny stuff.
Old Santa man comes and saves the day, the creepy old guy.
It's the part where Kevin's daughter wants to do this elaborate secret handshake with the princess, who she thinks is Stacy, and the princess just knows it.
That's what, okay. Here, let me tell you. This is how they switch places. I've noted everything they did. They switch places in about 2 minutes. Here's what it is. Here's my house, Kevin, bakery, etc. She shows him on her phone. Princess goes, here's my hairdo and family tree. Then they show each other how they walk. And then they change phone cases. And then they change into the exact clothes that the other one was currently wearing. And that is it. And that is it. So when that moment comes up and the little girl asks to do the secret handshake, I was like, oh, she's fucked.
Right.
And then she just busted out. And I was like, when? She's gone for an hour. When?
There is no less interesting way that scene could have gone. Like, why did it happen like that? And why would anybody think that's like how that should go in this movie?
Partially, like, missteps initially.
Barely.
And then, like, fully does it. And I was like, yeah, that was a letdown.
And then, at the end of the movie, the daughter tries using the handshake to identify if Stacy is really her again.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the one thing the princess did perfectly.
She knows.
What? These are basic plot points that make absolutely no sense.
Here's another one that I thought was great. That really, they're walking right before the toy store. They're walking down this like Christmas market street, and this random reporter from Food Magazine is like, "Are you Stacy? What's your face? I want to do a piece on you." And then it like cuts to the princess and the prince in the toy store, and like they do their thing, and then it cuts back, and Kevin and Stacy are walking up the street again, and she's like, oh, it's technically Kevin and the princess because they've switched at this point.
Right.
Kevin's like, oh, it was nice of you to let me do that interview with you. And I was like, the guy just did the piece on the street right there? Like, that's not usually how journalists... Like, I thought he was to set up an appointment or something. And Kev's like, oh, thanks for letting me do that interview with you. Like, I'm glad we're a team. And I was like, what?
But again, show us the interview.
Yeah.
That would be so funny.
Because it would be great to see how she had to, like, play into that.
Oh. All those possible moments that could have been great are either glossed over or just, like, are completely unfunny.
Yeah.
It's a total waste.
Definitely agree with unfunny. This is not a funny movie unless you're laughing at it.
And it should have been.
Unless you're laughing at it. But it should have been a funny movie. It could have been a funny movie.
Like when they make the Princess Switch 2, I want to see Melissa McCarthy.
If they make a Princess Switch 2 and it doesn't star Melissa McCarthy, I'm going to kill myself. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I just... Oh, man. This movie is...
As much as I thought that I didn't like this movie, for the last few days, I've had such an urge to watch more of these movies.
I have too. That's what I'm saying. It's like, this opened the floodgates for me.
I mean, something about it is like, it's like comfort food. Even it's like shitty comfort food.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's comfortable. It's like a McDonald's cheeseburger. You know, it's shitty, but it's cozy. It's comforting.
And it pains me to come to that realization.
I just want to really hit home that this was 2 days. And let me tell you, let me read some of the lines they say to each other at the end. Stacy brings out the best in me, the princess. Kevin does the same to me, the princess says. Kiss her, daddy, the little girl says. I love you more than anybody I've ever loved in my whole life, Stacy says to the prince. 2 fucking days. 2 days together.
What's, like, this is a movie, and, like, you can cut whatever amount of time you want down to a movie length. Like,
yeah.
You can make this draw out over a week or two and still tell us the same story,
yep.
But just in a much more believable way.
Only 2 days.
That's all like, it takes. Why do we have to zip through it?
2 days.
Again, the ending. Give us, like, okay, once we find out that everyone is not who we thought they were, let's just sleep on it.
Yeah.
Let's give it a second.
Give them some time to settle. Give them some time to talk it through, figure it out. I agree. 2 days. That's all they get. 2 days, and they watch a full-length movie during one of these days, and, like, sleep as well. So it's, like, not much time.
We've been recording this episode for more than 2 days.
Basically, yeah. I mean, we've probably spent more time together than either couple did. It's just, like, ugh.
Kevin, I mean, will you marry me?
I love you more than anybody I've ever loved in my entire life.
Thank you.
I think, in terms of follow-up, too, one thing that I wrote down that I would have liked to have seen is, like, after they celebrate being in love and the prince proposes, and it's, like, cut, boom, they're at the prince's wedding, which is a year later. I would have loved to have seen the headlines of, like, princess! I want to see, like, the spinny newspapers coming at the screen, like, princess abandons post, prince marries commoner, Kevin out of a job at the bakery. Like, give me some updates as to what's going on in their life. Don't just go to the wedding, give me another, like, happy, kissy moment, and then end it. There's no follow-up as to what happened. So,
this is what I keep hammering in. Show me the consequences.
Yeah.
There's so many things that are going to happen as a result of this moment. Show me those things.
Yeah.
I care.
I think the king and queen were totally unnecessary to have in this movie, too. Nothing added.
Again. I'm going to say the same fucking thing I've said a million times. Like, I want to, like, the king and queen have got to have some kind of issue with this.
Well, it's like the dad at one point is looking out the window like, I don't like her. And the queen's like, she looks like a princess to me.
Right, their disapproval of her, once they find out that it's not even who they think it is, there should be so many layers to their problems with this scenario.
Well,
and they're just sitting there, just clapping.
As you
they're
know,
just happy.
Belgravia is a pretty, they play pretty loose in terms of the royal court. If you look historically at the history of Belgravia, it's all pretty, they let a commoner in every now and then, you know?
If you're looking for any more content as disappointing as this film,
mm-hmm.
I would check out our podcast at fastfoodfilmfriends.com. And there you can find our shop where you can buy our shirts and stickers. You can listen to our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, Stitcher, or really wherever else you find your podcasts.
Or you can follow us on Instagram at fastfoodfilmfriends, Twitter at FFFpodcast, Facebook at fastfoodfilmfriends, or email us at fastfoodfilmfriends@gmail.com to let us know what we should eat or watch next time. Hopefully not more movies like this.
We're actually going to have a little bit longer of a break than usual. We'll be coming back in the new year with our top 10 movies of 2018. I'm really excited for that. We're going to get to talk about a lot of films.
That's right.
And in the meantime, we've got some catching up to do.
Yeah.
So until then, farewell.